Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 177 of Nerd Pride Radio. 177. Caliber one. Well, I don't even know how to say it because I'm not a gun guy. It's .177. So what, 177 caliber? Yeah? All right. It's 4.5 millimeters. Anyway, it's the smallest size of pellets used in air guns. There. Oh, man, struggled through that. Okay, ask me how I'm doing today, though. Come on, ask me.
How are you doing?
Well, thank you, Eli. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones, and I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus. There's like 7 other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore, yes? My wife was making fun of me, but I don't know what about. So, oh well, I'm sure we'll get to it later. My wife swears that I said I was a commie nerd in the middle of that instead of a comedy nerd. Maybe I stumbled it over a little fast. So in case you were a little confused, I meant I'm a National Socialist nerd. Is that? No, that's not right either. Anyway, you guys know what I meant. As always, you are listening to the best smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like the waters of Tokyo Bay running off the scales of a 30-story radioactive lizard. So cool. All right, we're going to get right into... Yes, I mean Godzilla, Eli. Thank you. You have put the pin directly in the middle of that. That is perfect. All right, now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. Straight into it. First up, it's my gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games, if it fits on my gaming table, then I am here to share it with you. Well, not just me. I and my favorite son? Somewhere in the top three, right? It's Eli. Eli is here with me. Say hi, Eli.
Hi, Eli.
You can get closer to the mic, though. You're going to have to
see. Hi, Eli.
There you go. Better. So, Noah, we've got a rule. It's called the Uncle Kyle rule. And it's either get on the mic or shut the hell up. He's coming over to get on the mic. Okay, so.
But don't talk too much.
So, anyway.
Am I in the top three?
Yes, you and Eli are both currently in the top three of my favorite children.
Which one isn't?
Someone who's not here. So. All right, so, anyway. So, one of the other brothers. That's all. You can take your guesses. It doesn't matter.
Any brother, right? So Kyle?
Yes, that's right. Kyle. Kyle's my least favorite brother. You got it. Okay. Anyway, first up on my gaming table, hey, have you ever tasted a Switch cartridge? Because, okay, the Switch. Yeah, see, that's why I wanted your natural reaction, Eli. Because we have the new Nintendo Switch, which my son has. And if you have a Switch or if you know someone who has a Switch,
don't suck on the cartridge.
Have you licked their game cartridges? Have you tasted them? Yeah, how's it taste, Eli?
Imagine you're imagine.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was, they were.
Imagine if anybody who watches Bob Burgers, imagine the one girl, every time something bad happens, it's just, right yeah. then after you. Like,
yeah, that's Tina.
Yeah, Tina. Whatever.
So, oh God, it was just terrible. Because Jacob had read that the Switch cartridges are intentionally coated in something that makes them taste horrible.
So toddlers don't swallow them.
Right. So your kids don't eat them. Your pets don't eat them. So they don't get accidentally swallowed because their cartridges are tiny. And so he heard that. And so he's sitting there as we're having this discussion about it. He's sitting in our house with us. He came to visit. And he has his Switch in his hand. He's like, well, let's try it out. And he pulls his Breath of the Wild out, turns around, and he licks the label. And his face, I mean, it's just everyone's face is exactly the same because you're amazed at how unbelievably nasty it actually tastes. They were not kidding. When they say they coated it with something to make it taste unpleasant, it was unpleasant. I mean, it was just – it's like kind of the sort of intensity of the metallic intensity of sucking on a penny. But imagine that multiplied and just coating your entire tongue, and it's just this like shock to the system of
pennies taste good, but they're not tasty when they're put into.
Yeah, they're not that tasty. So, all right. But that was it. So if you, what I'm saying is, if you have a chance, and don't maybe not do it to your own. You know, don't go out and buy yourself a Switch just to test this out. But if you know someone who has a Switch, when they're not looking, pull the cartridge out and lick it. It is really nasty. You would be very surprised. But as long as we're on the gaming table, I actually have some other stuff. What did we do in Scouts today?
Played chess.
Yes, we played chess, he said very softly away from the mic.
I'm not even away from the... I'm as close as you are. It's just... Your mic's broken.
My mic is not broken. You were leaning
No,
away.
As I meant by mic, I meant you.
Go! All right, he wins that one. They were working on their chess merit badge. Because apparently there's a merit badge for chess. It's the only board game that you can get a merit badge in that I'm aware of. And so before we went, because they've been doing they talked about the rules of chess at the last meeting, and they covered all the basics of it and strategies and this kind of stuff. And then today we were going to do a review of the rules and then a chess tournament with all the scouts. And beforehand, Eli did not want to go. Because
I was up against Noah Peterson.
Yeah, you were up against Noah, who is not our Noah, but another Noah, who is also very smart and good at what he does. And so he was a little intimidated, and it was actually, despite having gone through all the rules and all this, this was Eli's first actual game of chess that he played all the way through. Which, how'd you do on it?
I did well, but then Peter, the oldest of the group... He has some problem with not listening.
This is okay. You know what? You and Tristan completely agree on this because our oldest scout, Pete, he got done with his match early, and so he was wandering around to the other tables, giving advice to people and thus helping them win. And so everyone who lost to Peter's assistance kibitzing, all accused the other people of cheating.
But,
so
how do you think he won?
Cheater. See, no one gets it. No one gets the joke. Go ahead. You do Peter.
No, I can't. I can't do it.
Yeah, see, you don't like doing voices on mic either. I'm not fond of it.
I can't do them on you. That would be really hard.
So, in any case, as it turns out, they all had a really good time. I was very surprised. I mean, look, we always play board games and stuff. I mean, you know how much I love board games. But I was surprised that having all of the scouts sitting around playing chess at a bunch of different tables, and then they'd swap up and they'd play against different people, and they all had a blast doing it. Even when they lost, they were all really good sports about it, except, you know, accusing Pete of cheating. But they were all really good sports about it. They all had a good time. It was all in good fun. I've just never been a chess fan, but this was fun. Because it wasn't intense and competitive and cutthroat and all that. It was just everyone was enjoying themselves, knowing that it's mostly a bunch of newbies and everyone's learning, and so it was cool.
Well, my game was more not noobish because stuff was happening, but me and Noah were both being really defensive.
Yes.
We didn't want to move.
Oh, God. Yeah, they were so cautious. so cautious that, like, one of the games is already done. Others, I'm looking, and there's all this carnage, and these pieces have been taken off everywhere. And him and Noah are facing off, and literally they're 20 minutes in, and nobody's taken a piece yet. All they do is keep maneuvering around each other. And I think by the end of the game, what, you captured a rook and two pawns.
Yeah.
And that was the only pieces missing from the
table.
And
Noah had – and I had no one dead except for my king because – Peter.
Yeah, because Peter cheated. Yeah, I get it.
Peter gave me the bad advice, not realizing that you look at every piece and see where they go first, Peter.
You're right. There's no way you could have known that. So, anyway.
Well, because I trusted him as the older kid there, thinking he was smarter. Well, I'm lying.
That was your mistake. Yeah, you should have known. It's Pete. Come on, man.
I didn't realize he was like the other Halseys.
That's right.
Oh, wait, no, he's not like the other Halseys.
Yeah?
I'm saying he's dumb.
Oh, that's awesome. This weekend, we had Noah's birthday party where we went off to, we got a hotel where the kids went swimming all night and they had a pizza party and watched movies. And then we also played board games. Forever. We played a ton of board games. Hey, Noah's coming around. Oh, you're just moving stuff? I thought he was coming over to join me. All right. And what was the, you're abandoning me? That's fine.
I got other things.
Okay.
Party was awesome.
Awesome. What game was the hit of the party?
King of Tokyo.
King of Tokyo was really good. We had such a good time with it. I've talked about King of Tokyo before. We've played it before. But this time, we had a whole bunch of people in, and so we always had six people playing at a time, and we got to where we had finally figured out and mastered all the rules, and just everyone had a blast. Even when they got knocked out early and they had to just sit around watching, everyone still had a blast. It was really fun.
Father, may I quickly say something?
Yes, you may. As long as it's in this British accent. Go ahead.
Well, it's actually not going to be.
Okay.
Here's your accent for here's your voice for earlier. Beta.
Oh, there you go. Good job.
You're welcome.
So, King of Tokyo was great, and just because if you've ever played King of Tokyo, you'll get this. If not, you just suffer through it. At one point, I was the only monster in Tokyo City, so it was everyone against me, and I wound up rolling, and I wound up getting three attacks immediately off the dice. And so I figured, well, I'll keep going for those and ultimately came up with all the dice came up with attack points on them, which, again, if you've never played before, it's the equivalent of getting a Yahtzee on six dice. I mean, everything matched. It was phenomenal. And I wound up killing one of them outright. The other one was weakened so much that he died the next round. And ultimately, I won the whole game by slaughtering everybody from the circle. It was great. I love King of Tokyo. So we had a really good time with that one. And then sadly, I was going to playtest Mars Needs Cows at this event, and the logistics of it just didn't work out because last year we did five kids plus me in the hotel. This year it was six, and with six people, six kids plus myself, it just would not have worked to get out something new and playtest it with all the pieces and you had to be there. It was me and six 11-year-olds, so it was rough. And
creator of Mars.
Oh, that's Kaz.
Needs cows. Sorry, Kaz. Mars needs Kaz.
Yeah, that's right. So we will wind up taking Mars Needs Cows to game night, which is going to be on St. Patrick's Day, so this coming Friday. We will take it to game night this week, and we will play it there instead, where we can do it with adults, and we don't have all the pressure of me having to supervise all these people. Because most of the time, they were playing two games at once, since there were so many people. We had two different games going at the same time, and so if I had set up Mars Needs Cows, it would have been me. It would have been intense because I would have to be completely involved in that. And then I worry about what's going on in the next room. And it was just – I couldn't bring them all in on it. And it was just too much. So anyway, we'll get back to that one. So I apologize, Kaz. I feel really bad. In fact, my notes even say, no Mars Needs Cows, sad face. Like I actually – because I didn't bother with the emoji. It actually just literally says sad face. So I'm sorry.
You are not wrong on that.
So, all right. That's it for that. Next up, science fiction double feature. Science fiction double feature. That's right. Here at Nerd Pride Radio, you get not one, but two movie reviews for the same low, low price. And actually, I'm going to do three this time, but hold on. Mic adjustment. Sorry if that fed back into it. All right. It turns out I discovered that in the year 2016, I watched almost no movies. Like, we went out to the theater, and we saw movies in the theater once in a while, and mostly kids' movies, family movies, superhero movies. And that's pretty much all I went out to see. The occasional horror movie with Aiden. But, you know, I watched maybe 15 movies in all of 2016 and didn't watch any of them at home because I've become obsessed with watching television series at home. And so, I've been, you know, we've been watching Walking Dead again. I consumed a bunch of series this year and, went all the way through Community. I went through all of Rick and Morty again. I went through, got caught up with Steven Universe. It was just series after series after series. And I wound up not watching any actual movies on Netflix, which, you know, that's part of what you have Netflix for, right? And so I decided I would fix that. And so starting in this year, I went out to go look for some of the little independent movies that people had told me were so awesome and I never got a chance to see. And most of them, it turns out, are not actually on Netflix, but they are on Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, like I went in and just – I went to my Amazon Prime account just to see if they had any of the ones I was looking for. And I didn't even have to search for it because right there under recommended, it's like the first list for me, recommended, and they had Swiss Army Man, which was the first thing I wanted to see. So I saw Swiss Army Man, and I saw The Green Room, and I saw The Witch, and I was very happy. And there's still a whole list of them coming up. I think 10 Cloverfield Lane is going to be my next one. And, I can't remember what else is in the list. But anyway, I'm having a good time with them. And so having watched these three, Swiss Army Man is spectacular. All right. Daniel Radcliffe is, I've said it before, I admire the idea that this guy has, you know, he's made his Harry Potter money. He is set for life. He will never want for anything as long as he lives, no matter what. And so, therefore, he only takes roles that are interesting to him. He's not even like, John Cusack, who will do, you know, one for the studios to make money and then one for him so he can get his indie cred and have fun with a movie for himself. No. Daniel Radcliffe just says, I'm just going to make whatever movie I feel like making. And so thus you get something like Horns, or he stars in Equus on stage. And here, Swiss Army Man, yeah, there couldn't be a more bizarre film. He stars as a corpse who is literally the Swiss Army Man. Paul Dano is a guy who is stranded on a desert island, and he comes across a corpse, and the corpse turns out to be extremely useful and helps him out of all sorts of situations. And so Daniel Radcliffe plays a dead guy for the entire movie, and it's just brilliant. There is, it's also, it's ridiculous, and it's stupid, and it's touching, and it's just a lot of fun. And I'm not going to give anything away. I'm just going to tell you, if you haven't seen Swiss Army Man yet, go see Swiss Army Man. It's on Amazon Prime, at least. So if you've got Amazon Prime, start there. And it was really, really fun. So, and I'll tell you what, the ending, because, you know, man, you think you know what this movie is about, and then you get to the ending and you realize, oh, wow, no, it's way stupider than I thought. Wow. Okay. All right. I think I get it. It's a thinky movie. Let's see. After that one, I saw Green Room with Patrick Stewart as the bad guy, the scary, intense bad guy. He did really well at it. And Green Room, if you haven't already heard, and I'm sure you have, a small punk metal style band performs at some out of the way location for a bunch of skinheads, and then things go wrong, and then they are kind of trapped for a while. And that's the movie. And it's incredibly intense. And it was fun because, well, all right, first, you know, well acted, well performed, well written. And when I say well written, I'm specifically happy when I see a horror thriller style movie. I would make it more of a thriller than horror, but it, anyway, it's somewhere in that genre. When I see a horror thriller style movie where the protagonists don't do anything dumb or don't do anything too dumb, I mean, like you're watching them react, and even when they make things worse or shit just gets really intense, whatever it is, you understand why they did what they did. You know, they don't split up for no reason. They don't, you know, it, and it's just a really good film. It is a very different take, and I really enjoyed it. So, there's that one. And then The Witch. Have you seen The Witch? Oh, man, it was, I know reviews on it were mixed, and I see exactly why, because this movie was, a half hour of some of the most intense and engaging movie making I've ever seen. And that half hour is slapped on the end of an hour of nothing happening. So, is that a spoiler? Oh man. Cause it just, I mean, and I get why they did it. I get that all that build up at the beginning. You need to know these people. You need to know them really well. You need to understand who they are to understand why everything at the end happens the way it does and why this makes sense, what the context is for it. I get all that. But, I mean, it is a whole movie of nothing happening. Like, a lot of nothing happening. I mean, like, I can't stress this enough. I was bored out of my mind through a lot of that beginning. And yet, yeah, I know there's gotta be a payoff. I know everyone told me it was gonna be awesome, so I gotta keep watching. And eventually, yeah, the end of this movie is incredible. But I don't know if it was worth the sitting through the beginning. I guess I'm glad I watched it. But, yeah, my review, just like all the reviews, it's mixed. It's not, man. Anyway, but that was The Witch. So, hopefully, you know, 10 Cloverfield Lane next time. And, I can't remember what else is in the list. Although, see, now I'm also torn because I've got 10 Cloverfield Lane in the list and I feel like I should watch Cloverfield first, even though I know they don't really connect. And that there's not one that's not really required for the other. Like, all I know about them is probably it was on Doug Loves Movies, maybe, where someone said something about 10 Cloverfield Lane and said, well, it is a sequel. And everyone went, no, it's not really a sequel. And then the response is, well, technically, I mean, and then everyone in the room goes, oh, well, yeah, technically, but, and so I don't know what the connection is in the film. I don't know why. It's this, well, okay, yeah, maybe it's kind of a sequel, but it's not really connected. I have no idea what that means. But part of me feels like I ought to watch Cloverfield anyway, even though it's supposed to be a bad movie and I don't really need it, but I feel like I should. Nah, you know what? I'm not going to watch Cloverfield because if I make that condition, then I'll never watch either one of them. I'll put it off because I don't want to watch Cloverfield. See? That's how it works. All right. That's it for the science fiction double feature. We're going to move on to Pod People. All right, Pod People. This is the segment where I don't have any script for it, but it's the part where I talk about podcasts that I've been listening to, stuff I'm interested in. And particularly this week, I stumbled on three new podcasts. They're all made by the same people, the same company. And the company is Crooked Media. And Crooked Media is making the podcast Pod Save America, which is their flagship and my favorite. And then they also do Pod Save the World. And then they do With Friends Like These. And the point is, these are Washington insiders or former Washington insiders who are putting on a podcast. And they're talking about politics and talking about what's going on right now. And they're just really interesting because it's all of them worked within Democratic campaigns. They all worked. I think most of them worked within the Obama White House going back. And so, like, one of them was a speechwriter for Obama. One of them was the spokesman for the National Security Council. They've been involved with campaigning. They've been involved with actually working in the White House. And so they know people and they know lots of people, and their guests are people from both sides of the aisle who are within the system. And so, you know, when I say they know people, like, they know Sean Spicer. Like, they all personally know Sean Spicer. They've hung out with him. They know what kind of guy he is. And they, on the podcast, constantly make fun of him for putting himself in this position of being Donald Trump's, you know, lying spokesman. They're fascinating. Really interesting to get their take on stuff and to hear them just be so casual about it, because they're just, you know, they're like anybody else sitting around giving their opinions and talking shit about people and all this. But, you know, they're people from the inside who know stuff. And sometimes, you know, you can tell where their biases lie and all this, but it's just interesting to hear it, because they're, like I say, they're just people who sitting around talking, and they've been on the inside and they know all the people involved and they know a lot of the issues and how these things play out, and they have a bunch of inside knowledge. But right now, none of them are currently in politics, and so therefore none of them are beholden to anybody. They don't have to censor themselves. They don't have to it's really fascinating, and I love listening to it. So that's Pod Save America and Pod Save the World, where they talk about national issues and then world issues. And then the third one is With Friends Like These, and I can't remember the name of any of the hosts, but this one, she comes on and intentionally brings on guests who are who have very different opinions from hers. So the first episode she brought on a pastor from a rural community that was, you know, 70% Trump voters. And so this is a pastor who represents a very, very conservative base, and he's, you know, one of his people. And so she talked to him about what his community was like and why they made the choices they did and how they feel about things. And she doesn't, she tries to keep it from turning into any kind of heated argument. People are very respectful on her show, but also, you know, when someone says something, she'll also challenge them on it. I mean, there's a real back and forth that goes, but it's a respectful debate, and I find that really interesting. So, you know, the last guy she had on was someone who is a personal friend of hers, but, you know, he's worked inside Republican campaigns and is responsible for some of the most vicious attack ads we've seen out there, and his very cavalier attitude about the sorts of things that they do in dirty politics is just, it's interesting to watch in action, and it's interesting to hear him talk about it. And anyway, it's cool stuff. So if you are interested in the current political scene and you would like some viewpoints on it, man, these are interesting ones. This is all from Crooked Media. Again, Pod Save America, Pod Save the World, and With Friends Like These. I enjoy all of them. But the other one I started listening to this week, and I'm so angry with myself for doing it, Rabbits. All right, are you listening to Rabbits? How do they do this to me? I am so Tannis and Black Tapes. All right, this is the same people. All right, first they had Black Tapes, and then they came out with Tannis, and now the new one from the same people. This is from the people who brought us Pacific Northwest Stories, Minnow Beats Whale. Anyway, their newest podcast is called Rabbits, and it's the same sort of deep mystery, you know, conspiracy theory sort of stuff going on. And it's this mystery, and it's dark and it's fascinating. It's about an augmented reality game, as they're labeling it, called Rabbits. And it's this woman, this journalist, is looking for her friend who was connected to the game and has now disappeared. And it's just going to go as deep as you want it to go, and it's going to get super dark. And just like the other two, I know that by the end of season one, it's going to be my favorite show ever. I'm going to love it. And then I'm going to go all the way through season two and still not get any real answers. And by the end of season two, I'm going to be so angry with it, I'm going to quit listening, because that's what I do with these shows. And it just makes me mad to think that I'm falling for it again, and yet I can't help myself. Heck, I even loaded Tannis back up. I had unsubscribed from Tannis because I was so mad at it. And now season three is starting, and darn it. So, okay, I'll listen just a little bit just to see what's going on. And of course, the first two episodes of season three, well, it's almost all review. It's him going back over, you know, they're getting some new information, but they're also giving constantly recapping what's happened already. And it's so nice because it's, oh, okay, good. Here, I've got this nice recap. They're putting all the pieces together for us and giving us reminders of everything. So boy, these first two episodes are super cohesive and everything makes sense. And I'm like, oh, okay, good, good. Now I know where we're at. No problem. Now we'll finally get some answers. And I know it's a lie. I know it's a lie. And yet I should have made this a nerd rage because I'm so upset with myself for listening to rabbits, but I'm going to anyway. And, I'll keep you posted on whether it's any good or not. So there you go. That's it for Pod People. You know what? We're all done with the Meticulously Pod portion. Let's do a little bit of Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Then you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And we're not going to do many because this is going to be a short episode today. But my first number is 07. So number 7 is from Kyle. Kyle says, what is the last physical sport you played and when? I don't know, but my wife might. Lisa, what's the last physical sport I've played? Yeah, I think she's right. Volleyball. And that was 20 years ago. I mean, it's been a long time since I other than just goofing around with the kids, actually playing a real sport. Yeah, it's probably volleyball. I think we didn't play any, football with the family, did we? I think that was before that. Yeah, does hide and seek count? I played hide and seek. Is that a physical sport? I was a little drunk, but I was still running. I mean, that counts, right? And that was only 10 years ago, 7 years ago. Yeah, Eli says he remembers it clearly, so he says it was only 3 or 4 years ago. I think it was 5. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, if you don't count hide and seek, then volleyball. And that's been a while. I was actually on a league for volleyball. So there you go. Number 90. 90 is from, and by the way, drunken hide and seek in the dark. We had the whole campground to ourselves. We were, it's the middle of the week. Everybody else had already left and the new weekend people hadn't come in. And oh, it was awesome. It was so awesome. We had a great, great time. All right, but 90 is where I'm supposed to be going, and I'm just jabbering away here. Zimney. Hey, Zim. Zim says, what's the best rules system for a wrestling game? What about it makes it a good fit? The best wrestling game that I've seen was actually, it was a sumo wrestling game that we got out of Dragon Magazine back when I was in high school. No, even before that. Back when I was in junior high. So this was 30 something years ago. And it was essentially you had 4 opening moves and then 4 continuing moves. And the way the 4 moves interacted and you rolled some dice, it was essentially, just a slightly more complex version of rock, paper, scissors, except with probabilities instead of certainties. And it was really cool. It was a nice little back and forth system and we had a really good time with that one. But other than that, I can't imagine having a wrestling game, or if I did have a wrestling game, it would be probably one that I'd just come up with a brand new system for. So, man, is there a, boy, there's gotta be some kind of, like a Mexican wrestling game that you could put together, like a card game or a board game with amateur wrestling. That would be pretty cool, but I don't know what kind of system for sure. But, man, I'm going to think about that one, though, because I really like that idea. 82 is from Ronster. Hey, Ron. Ron says, it's game night. Yay. But instead of bringing what you planned, you have been surprised by your wife and kids with the one game you always wanted but could never find. What game is it? Is there a game that I want but can't find? I don't think so. Because, I mean, pretty much every game I want, I've found. And then generally my wife buys it for me and then gives it to me for my birthday or for Christmas or for, she's really good about that. I can't think of any game that I, Oh, all right. God darn it. She's right. She's right. So, can you believe it? Cardboard Fortress Games finally found a taker for Kobolds, and they've launched it as a board game. That would be the one. Yes. Now, that would require that Cardboard Fortress Games, Nicole and Anthony, that they actually get someone to buy Kobolds, and then they go through the whole playtest process, and they get a big professional launch of it, and it is a box game, a huge board game box game that they actually managed to sell for $45. That's the price point they really want. They really want a $40 or $45 game, which I don't think they can do for as complicated as Kobolds is. But man, that would be a dream come true. Yeah, it's Kobolds. That's what it is. Thank you, Lisa. And 22, and this will be the last one. 22 is from, let's see. Oh, it's from Kyle. Kyle says, do you miss Phil Donahue? No, no, I don't. I was never a big fan of Phil Donahue. Explain to the little ones who Phil Donahue was. Oh, Phil Donahue was a daytime talk show host who was the origins of the you know how there are the almost tabloid style sensationalistic daytime talk shows today where and I don't even know who hosts them anymore, but it's always the ones where people are fighting on stage and they're arguing over about paternity tests and who's the daddy or who cheated on who, or and it's all just sensationalistic reality show garbage. Okay. Phil Donahue was the origin of that stuff. And in his day, when Phil Donahue was first on the air, we thought Phil Donahue was sensationalistic. We thought Phil Donahue was over the top, and he was, he was picking guests and topics just to be, just to be tawdry, just to be, and it seemed so sensationalistic and so inappropriate. And as it turns out, no, Phil Donahue was just the first one to do it, and it just seemed outrageous because it had never been done before. And then everyone else took it to the extreme. And so, like I say, Phil at the time seemed really, really edgy and controversial and kind of, outrageous and inappropriate. And as it turns out now, no, tame. I mean, he barely did anything. And nowadays, there's nothing that they won't put on reality TV now. So, no, I don't miss him, but now that you bring it up, yeah, that was, remember how outrageous we thought he was? Yeah, man, we've grown up since then, haven't we? All right. You know what? One more. 85. And 85 is, there it is. It's from Ron again. Hey, Ron. Ron says, will there be a new Nerd Pride battle soon? Probably not, because I'm playing a game of Paranoia now. I don't know if you were aware of that, but my Paranoia games take up most of my attention when I have the free time to do something daily or every other day or whatever it is. Paranoia is pretty intensive for that. And so a Nerd Pride battle is a daily thing. And I know it's only 2-3 weeks, but it's a daily thing that also takes a lot of attention. And one of them would suffer as a result of having both going at the same time. So, no, it will wait until after this game of Paranoia is done, it could be anywhere between, 6 months and a year before Paranoia is done. So unless someone else wants to run a Nerd Pride battle, I know, Phoebe did it once, but if somebody else wants to put one together, and I think Kyle's done them before, I can't remember. If someone else wants to run a Nerd Pride battle, I'll give you all my tips and tricks and information. But it's an effort, so just be ready for that. But all right, and then that is the end of the Podomatic, and we're going to bring out GLaDOS, and she will give us a recap of this episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Weezer's In the Garage, and and Science Fiction Double Feature by Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. You are more annoying than your brother. You know that?
Yeah.
You're good. Yeah. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, Angry Geeks Versus, Be Like Trivia, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to do something nice from a podcast, recommend it to your friends, because if you enjoy it, of course you're going to spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well. Remember, I'm always looking for your listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, please, please send it to me and save me all that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message. We will hang out together and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun.
You have too many best friends.
Yeah, no, you can never have too many best friends. We'll have fun.
Well, if you have to choose the best of best friends, who would it be?
That's not fair. I can't choose. They're all awesome. Now, we'll have fun. Now it's time for a very quick listener betrayal. Before I start every podcast, I go out to my forums and Facebook. I post up that I'm recording right now, and anything that people comment while I am recording, I will read off at the end of the cast, which is what we're doing. So first off, let's go over to Facebook, and on my Facebook page, oh, I got messages from Sarah Beth, because Nellie, if you've been missing Nellie at the end, she's on the Jonathan Colton cruise, the Joko cruise, the all comedy music gaming cruise that I'm very jealous of. So, hey, hi Nellie, hope you're having fun. All right. Sarah Beth says, Mike, just wanted to thank you again for being a bright spot when things go to shit. Ha, made you swear on your podcast. I'm going to share an ethical question from the podcast Crime Writers On. Oh, from the podcast, Crime Writers On. Got it. About the podcast, Missing Richard Simmons. Richard Simmons is incommunicado, and this podcast is done by a friend of Richard's wanting to know what happened and why. I highly recommend it. Noir author Toby Ball asks, do we have a right to disappear from the public eye if we want without a podcast trying to hunt us down? Is this podcast ethical, or if it is it still wrong to pry, even if there are allegations that elder abuse may be occurring? Although the cops say there isn't any evidence of this. Look, if there's evidence of something illegal going on, somebody should be investigating. Otherwise, look, if you're a public figure, you do give up some certain right to privacy. If you're a very public figure who then suddenly disappears, there's lots of people that will want to know why. It is legitimate news to an extent, although I feel bad for Richard Simmons. I mean, if he's wanting to hide from the public, he has a good reason for wanting to hide. And so I feel bad for people barging into his life like that. But it is also part of celebrity. So it's kind of fair game, kind of. So, but I don't know. I don't know. It feels a little smarmy and yet so entertaining. Although, and as my wife points out, you know, Richard Simmons, he has had depression issues in the past. And maybe he's depressed now. Maybe he's got issues going on and he's not feeling good about himself. And maybe people actually looking for him and following and being interested in his story, maybe potentially that's good for him. I have no idea. I've never been depressed and I'm not going to qualify myself as an expert to say, but, you know, wouldn't it be worse if he just completely dropped out of public life and everyone decided they just didn't care and he would then feel like he hadn't made an impact on anyone's life? I mean, the man's beloved. The man's done a lot of good. So, whatever's going on with him, I hope he's okay. And you know what? I probably will start following the podcast because you're not the first person to recommend it to me. So, I'll probably wind up listening in. So anyway, that was the first one from Sarah Beth. And then the second one says, how awesome is Eliahad? Oh, he is really awesome. His only problem is that he prioritizes, making money over being with his friends. Somehow going to these quote unquote gigs and being able to pay his rent and I don't know, eat. Those things are somehow more important than slaying giants every other Thursday. So, he's a little messed up in that regard.
So that's why we're poor.
Yes, that's because I have my priorities straight. Money is not what's important in life. It's family and friends and slaying giants every other Thursday.
So I know you don't believe in that because you're not like that.
Yeah. So anyway, Eliahad is awesome. I absolutely love Dave. He is one of my best friends in the world. Really, best friends in the world. He really is. I love Dave. He is a spectacular dude, and I am glad for all the opportunities I've gotten to hang with him, and can't wait to see him again this summer, and it's going to be a good time. So, all right, next, that's it for Facebook, so we're going to go over to my forums at nerdpriderradio.com/nerds, and hey, Talvin has been a busy beaver. Talvin says, what are your St. Patrick's Day plans? I'm going to game night. It's going to be game night, and it's
going
to be pretty good.
I'm going to
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We'll get to you in just a moment then. So it's going to be game night, and I'm going to be doing Mars Needs Cows, and I'm actually hoping to start a trend of doing at least one playtest segment every time I show up, because I've got some stuff of my own I could bring in playtest, but I've got probably four different games, unpublished games in my bag that I could be breaking out if I just made more of an effort to kind of push people into them and get people to try them out. So I'm hoping to do that. And anyway, I'm looking forward to game night. But I'm sorry, Eli, what you have to either shut the hell up or get on the mic. So what are you doing on St. Patrick's Day?
I'm going to this thing called Morp.
Morp? What the hell is Morp?
Dad, stop. You can stop being prom. It's prom for the 8th graders and the 7th graders, and it's really, I'm mad because it took away my game night. And
But it is important that you go to Morp, so you're going to go.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. You got an outfit picked out for it?
I'm
just kidding. They said it's a pretty casual thing. There's no dress code for the Morp dance. This is it's prom backwards. It's the big dance of the year for the junior high kids. And it's meant to be low pressure, no dress code. Just show up, have a good time. Don't need to make a big deal out of it. And so this being his first big dance, Eli's going to go because apparently everyone's going to be there. Everyone's going to be there. So it'll be awesome. And like I say, informal. So it's not like people have to arrange for dates and, you know, go to all the trouble of dressing up and corsages and dinner and all that garbage. This is just going to be a dance. And it's just going to be fun hanging out. So you looking forward to it?
It's just kind of like a Boy Scout meeting. You're not looking forward to it, but
yeah, but you weren't looking forward to today's Boy Scout meeting. And then because you didn't want to play chess. And then it turns out that you really enjoyed playing chess. You had fun once you got there. So maybe going to a dance and socializing will be a lot like chess. A little nerve-wracking at first because you feel inexperienced at it. And yet once you get there, you realize it's not so bad and you have a great time.
And then Zach gets on stage and then you realize the mistake you've made.
Well, it's not like Zach's your date, so you don't have to feel responsible for him.
I don't have a date.
No, that's my whole point. No one has to have a date for Morp. It's just Morp. It's no big deal. All right, let's see what else Talvin asks us. I'm going to move the mic back. Sorry for the noise. All right. Let's see. Are you excited about Pathfinder in Space? Of course I'm excited about Pathfinder in Space. It's Starfinder. It's going to be awesome. I can't tell you how cool I think this thing looks. I'm really excited to see what they do with it. I am a little upset that I go to the Die 20 PFSRD, and I understand the guy's got to make money, but he keeps putting up ads for Star Jammer or however Star Jammer, I think is the name he's put on it, available now. And it's basically, it's a Pathfinder in space, but it's not anything connected to, the actual game coming out. This is just some third party game that's coming out, and he's capitalizing on the fact that people are excited about it. And yeah, it just doesn't look, it's just not going to be the same. It's not the same quality.
This is basically making up your own Star Wars.
Yeah, sort of. I'm excited about it. It's going to be the Pathfinder universe, except move it forward, we don't know, a few hundred years, a few thousand years. And now they're traveling in space, so there's still some magic. There's lots of technology. There's different alien races. It's going to be really exciting. So yes, I'm very excited. Next from Talvin, he says, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. What do you really want, Eli?
To leave.
He wants to go home. We've been here. We had all the scout meetings, and we've been helping out, and now he's just ready to go home and be done with this day. So that's Talvin.
Talvin, warning. Don't try that.
Oh, come on.
It's not.
Well, it's Spice Girls lyrics. He's okay. So. How's the new Paranoia game going? Oh, so good. It is. Look, are they even...
You can't talk about too much of it.
I know I can't talk about too much of it, but as usual, look, we've got, you know, we're a ways into this and, you know, have people all gotten all their equipment? No.
Has anyone died?
Yes. Have they gotten on the boat yet? No, they're not even on the boat to get where they're going.
What boat?
So the boat that they have to take to get where they're going. Most of the games of Paranoia that I play, it is a mess to get through the get through the briefing. It's a mess to get all your equipment picked up, and then you get on some vehicle, and then it is forever to get to where you're going, and then eventually you get there, and the mission is not really quite so important because by then most of you are dead anyway. But yeah, they haven't even, they're barely into this. So it's going to be a good time though. And I'm really enjoying it. And I think they are too, but I'm really enjoying it because everyone's playing the character really strongly. And, I can't tell you what that means, but it'll be cool when this game's over and I can start talking about it again. Let's see. Oh, probably done this one before, but F. Mary Kill, Women of Serenity. Okay. You can play this one since you've been watching Firefly with me.
Yeah.
All right, so well, he's 13. He's good. F Mary Kill,
yeah.
Or Kiss Mary Kill if you want to do the PG version of it. So we're gonna give you three choices, and of those three, you have to pick one of them to spend an evening with romantically.
Is there a way to skip this?
Nope. One that you're gonna spend a romantic evening with.
He was asking you, not me.
One that you are, I'll answer it as well. One that you're going to marry,
don't wanna answer,
marry and live with for the rest of your life, and one that you have to kill. You have to, those are your three choices. You have to assign one person to each of those. And your choices are the Women of Firefly. So it is, here it is, Zoe, Inara, and Kaylee. Now, notice he left out River, because River is technically underage, so it would be really inappropriate for me to choose River in this one.
I would shoot her anyway.
So Zoe.
She's crazy and probably wants to die anyway.
Zoe, the warrior woman who's married to Wash. Kaylee, the engineer. Or Inara, the companion. I know. So tough.
I don't want to answer.
Okay. He's embarrassed.
No, it's just because I'm 13.
He'll do the next one. All right.
No.
I'm going to let you know that I'm going to take my night of my romantic evening will be with Inara because this is what she's trained for. She's supposed to be really good at it. I cannot imagine I wouldn't get my money's worth out of that evening because it's what she does. So we'll start with that one. And then between Kaylee and Zoe, yeah, my wife has a problem with my answer so far. Yes, Lisa?
Where's our son?
He said he wanted to wait in the car. She's all worried that Noah's not here. Yeah, he decided to wait in the car. I said it might be a while. He said, I don't care. I'm not moving anymore. He's so tired. He slept 15 hours last night after his birthday party. He was sacked out, and he still hasn't recovered. So now the trick is, do I marry Zoe or do I marry Kaylee? That is tough. Who do I want to live with forever? Kaylee. I've always had a crush on Kaylee. I always loved Kaylee. When I first saw the show, it's got to be Kaylee. Well, though, I don't think I could kill Zoe. I mean, I think she could take me pretty easily. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick with my gut. I'm going to say marry Kaylee, kill Zoe, as much as I feel bad about. Oh, although maybe, you know what? I'm going to change it. I'm going to marry Kaylee. I'm going to have my evening of passion with Zoe because, you know what? I don't care if Inara's trained for all this. I've just never been as attracted to Inara as I have been to the other women on the show. I just don't think she's as good an actor. She doesn't appeal to me. I went with the answer because she's a trained companion, but you know what? I'm changing that. Now, kill Inara, my evening with Zoe, marry Kaylee. Got it. All right. Next one then is from Talvin, and Talvin says, all right, F. Mary Kill, Men of Serenity edition. All right, apparently Eli's not going to answer this one either. It is, my choices are Wash, Jane, or Simon. Shepherd Book, of course, took a vow of celibacy, so we can't put him in. And, yeah, you can't put Captain Reynolds in because he has an unfair advantage, so he is excluded. I completely agree with your rules there, Talvin. I think it makes perfect sense. Between Wash, Jane, and Simon. All right, I'm going to marry Wash because Wash is the marrying kind. That is just, that just happens. I love Wash. I love Alan Tudyk. I think the character is amazing. The actor is amazing. I will marry Wash. I'm good with that one. But now I'm torn because, I mean, all right, between Wash and, or between Simon and Jane, you know what? I hate to do this because as much as I want to kill Jane, because you have to kill Jane, right? You have to. I mean, Jane's an asshole. The actor that plays him is an asshole. And yet, you know, if we're just going for, you know, a romantic evening, a night of passion, I mean, really, I mean, he's, no, you know what? I'm going to kill Jane. He'd be a selfish lover anyway, right? Exactly. So, kill Jane. No foreplay. Seriously. The guy has no class, no style. So I'll take my night of passion with the doctor and then I'll marry Wash, kill Jane. I'm good with that. All right. Then next up is Talvin, and Talvin says, when do we get new avatars on the boards? Oh, God, I'm so bad about doing the avatars, aren't I? I'm just lazy about it. I should maybe end the random avatar program for a while because I have not been good about it. I mean, Lisa sends me a ton of them. I have a bunch of sets available. It's just a matter of, you know, I got to go through the work of, you know, sorting them out, cleaning them up, resizing them and cropping them, getting them all down. And it just, I just never get to it. Man, I should, though. I don't know. There's my answer. I don't know. God, quit hounding me. Next from Talvin. What is your Powerball dream? What would you buy if you won the big jackpot? Oh, if I win the big jackpot, the number one thing is a dream house. And I've talked about the dream house on the podcast before, but Lisa and I have all sorts of plans for a dream house. And the dream house has all sorts of things in it. I mean, it's got my game room. It's got the movie room. It's got a computer room for all the network stuff. And the whole house is wired up and everything is going to be great. And there would be all sorts of stuff in it. All sorts of stuff. Everything we could possibly want is in this house somewhere. And that also includes secret passages, hidden stairwells. And we're not telling you where any of that crap is because that's just for us. And it's going to be a gorgeous house. Awesome house. And then, you know, along with that then, you know, we have every comfort we could possibly want. But then we'll also spend some money on traveling and we'll, you know, invest in the children's education and make sure that their futures are taken care of forever and all sorts of stuff. But you know, the big house, that's the first one. And, oh man, we've got so many plans for that house. Now, I just got to actually buy lottery tickets. So I'll get around to it. I'm sure it'll happen probably next week. So I'll keep you guys posted when I win. Next up from Talvin, how awesome is DM Darks? Oh, so awesome. He runs an awesome game. Yes, absolutely he does. Again, I rave about our Pathfinder game all the time, but we're having a really good time. And, man, this is all about me leveling up. So it's, I can't wait for the next level. I get some really cool powers at next level. I can't wait to finish my wings because once I can fly, it will be my dream character. Everything will be together. And it's just a matter of, 19 and a half days left, which, you know, is probably going to be 2 years of game time, but still, 19 and a half days in game, to get those wings finished. So I'm looking forward to it. And he continues on with, and how about Roll20? Oh, guys, look, if you want to play games online, role-playing games online, Roll20 at roll20.com is the greatest software. And you can play for free if you want, or Talvin has invested in the membership for DM Darks so that he has access to all the bells and whistles. We just reinstated dynamic lighting again. Man, that stuff has stepped up. Dynamic lighting is amazing. It is... There is such a difference in how the game is played out when you can't see the whole map. You can't see what everybody sees, because normally you have a map in front of you and the game master draws out the whole scene. So here's all the rooms and here's where everybody's standing. And so if somebody else can see it, you can see it as well. Not so with dynamic lighting. With dynamic lighting, it means that I can only see what my character sees, one person. And so therefore, they're all up there and everyone's shouting and they're fighting and they're slaying something. And, you know, from context, I know what's up there. I can't see it. I don't even know for sure where to position myself to make sure I can get a good shot in or that I can see what's happening or anything. And it makes things a lot scarier and a lot more intense. Really love Roll20. So if you guys are interested in a way to play your role-playing games online, your tabletop games online, Roll20 is the coolest tabletop. And like I say, you can get in for free, but then there's also bells and whistles you can buy that make it awesome. So I highly recommend Roll20. And they're not paying me to say that, although if they wanted to, they certainly could. I would take a free membership, for example, because I speak well of them. I deserve something, right? Next up from Talvin. Talvin says, are you doing a March Madness bracket? No. If so, who you got winning? I have no idea. I don't follow it at all. So, no, I don't have a bracket. March Madness, I'm assuming that's basketball, right? College basketball? I have no idea. So I have absolutely no clue. But good on you for those of you who do, because, you know, it seems like a lot of fun. And then last up is Talvin, and Talvin says, when will they have Star Trek-like translators that allow us to communicate with others without having to learn a new language? If you believe the hype, we have them now, which we don't actually have them now, but we're very, very close. I think in 5 years, we will have translator apps on our smartphones that will be almost as good as they're going to get, all right? Because now Star Trek does the translator app so that you're actually translating in real time, which I don't think we're going to get to translation in real time anytime soon, because you going from one language to another, you need to have the full sentence, to have the context to understand how to translate it accurately. But I think within 5 years, we're going to be pretty close. I mean, like it's going to be they speak, you get an instant translation, you speak back, translates back, potentially, you know, ongoing translations that, and, you know, as good as some of these apps are getting with their predictive powers, predicting where you're going as you're typing, for example, that technology will also improve and it'll make it a little bit faster. But, you know, it's never going to be quite real time, but I think 5 years from now, we're going to be as close as we're going to get for a long time. So that's my thought. And then that's it. Let me make sure that that's it. Oh, wait. Yep, that's it. We are all done. So thank you guys for joining me. I love you all. It has been awesome. Say goodnight, R2. And I will see you guys next week.